This recording, South Africa 41, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comica Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comica Secure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her, and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Okay, well, I was born in South Africa, in Bloemfontein, and 1947. My parents were basically Lithuanian Jewish extraction. My dad was actually born in Lithuania, and he lived there with his mom for, 20 years almost, maybe. And then they came out to Cape Town. I think the brother had come before, and he financed the trip. So they came out and they lived here, and my dad went to school to learn English, and then he went to university to do engineering, and he became a civil engineer. And my mom was from Stateleville in the Eastern Cape, but her parents were both Lithuanian Jews that had come out before, and they ran a little shop in Stateleville. And my mom was actually pretty much Afrikaans speaking. She was what they call a Boere Jood. So she was bilingual in English and Afrikaans, and in fact she became a translator for the SABC at a later stage. I remember a story she always told about, they asked her to translate Hitler's speeches from English into Afrikaans, and she refused to do that, and they said, well, you might get into trouble for this, but she got away with it this time. Anyway, so what else? So then, they got married in 1940 in George, and then my dad was transferred to Bloemfontein in 1946, the Free State Roads Department, so I was born in 47, and I lived in Bloemfontein my whole school life until I was 16, and then I came down to university here, and been in Cape Town ever since, really, yeah. My dad's mom was like a real pillar of sort of society, or family anyway. She really struggled in Lithuania to have, she had some of her kids with her, and I mean, they were really poverty stricken, they were hell of a poor, and I mean, she used to have to beg for money, and so as a result, the kids are very fond of their mother. Whereas dad was a bit of a shadowy character. He was out in Cape Town, and he was just studying Darwin's theory of evolution, and he didn't really get involved with the kids much. So my dad was very strongly bonded to his mom. He was quite a big rock climber in his day. When he came to Cape Town, he got into the mountains, and he used to open routes. I'm very proud of him, and you can see them in a book, in a sort of guide to Table Mountain. You can see his name there, opening a lot of routes. But unfortunately, he never took me climbing. I think maybe I was a bit old he was a bit old when I was born. He was 44, and he sort of stopped climbing by then, and we lived in the Free State. But, I had a pretty good childhood, I must say. I went to a wonderful school, Christian Brothers College. It's a sort of Irish Catholic school, and the education was just magnificent. And it's just about free. But of course, those were the apartheid days where all white kids were educated for free, and we kind of didn't really think about the other kids. Not so good. But, you know, life was amazingly sort of pleasant. And the education, as I said, those Irish monks, they were wonderful. They really knew their stuff, and they were so dedicated. And then I went to UCT, and I mean, there was also... I was really fortunate to get a wonderful education. I did medicine at UCT. Finished in 1970, and then did my housemanship, went to the army, and got a job back at the Department of Chemical Pathology. And I spent the next 34 years there until they retired me at 65. And since then, I've just been sort of hanging out in Camps Bay, breeding dogs, keeping honey, beehives, walking, cycling, playing music, traveling. Yeah, Cape Town was just so exciting, especially in those days when there was no traffic and everything was beautiful and there weren't fences everywhere and you could walk where you liked. It was amazing life. Yeah, and I think he took quite a lot of strain, to be honest. I remember one point he got upset because I think coloured students weren't allowed to watch post-mortems on white people or something. Like there was a difference. And you know, the hospital was segregated. Like the white students could examine anybody, but the black students couldn't examine white patients. So, yeah, you know, you're kind of amazing how you just take it for granted, and years later you look back on it and you think, Jesus, that was kind of weird. I wasn't hell of a happy about what the Nazis did to all the Jews in Lithuania, so I'm not like mad about Lithuania because I know a lot of them were collaborators. I mean, they were helping the Nazis. They were dead happy to get rid of the Jews and take all their property and stuff. So. Not mad about kind of Lithuania per se, but yeah, I'm kind of interested in just history generally, and I mean, not just mine, but sort of everybody's. Yeah, and the more you realise that actually people's histories have got quite a lot in common.